morning. I'd like for you to turn with me, if you would, to two passages of Scripture. Matthew 5, and Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 11, that's going to be our text today. I've been sharing the past few weeks on our vanishing Christian virtues. In particular, I've been dealing with the sober virtues that the Bible speaks of, things like meekness, modesty, humility, quietness, obedience, self-effacement, patience, you know, basically all the things that our new and improved modern form of doing church either ignores or holds in contempt. But these are the things that I want to emphasize to us, as I have done in the past weeks. I want to continue to do so today. And to do that, I want to remind us of something that Jesus said, beginning in Matthew 5. We're going to read verse 5. Matthew 5:5. Remember, this is called the Beatitudes. He says, blessed, in verse 3, are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they will obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, they will be called the children of God. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. These things flew in the face of everything that the Jews knew, practiced, and believed. Unfortunately, they were much like us here in America today, where we honor and reward and envy the proud, the pompous, the showmen, the hypesters, the hucksters, the self-promoters. We look to those who are mighty and strong in themselves, the wise, the worldly wise, the people we would consider conquerors, the go-getters, the self-made man, the rich and famous. Contrary to all of that, Jesus taught these Beatitudes. In verse 5, he says something that I really want to bring out today and I want to emphasize because I believe it's very important. This is all about how we live. This is where our Christianity, you know, the rubber meets the road. This is where we live. This is supposed to characterize our everyday life. This isn't Sunday church, where we go to church, be a little pious on Sunday, feel like we've done our weekly duty to God, and then we go home, walk out the door, and live like we want to live the rest of the week. But this is how Christianity is supposed to be lived in our everyday life. Do you know that Christianity, true faith, is supposed to transform us? It's supposed to make us different people, so that we're not like the world. We're not like them at all. We don't share their values. We don't share their philosophy of life. We don't even consider successful what they consider successful. In Matthew 5:5, Jesus says, blessed are the meek. Now, I want you to consider this. He says, blessed, happy, fortunate, well off are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And then in Matthew chapter 11, I want you to look over here. This was our second passage, Matthew 11. And beginning in verse 28, Jesus makes a call, an appeal, we could say, an invitation. He gives an invitation. Come unto me, come unto me, come unto me. All ye, how many of you? All ye that labor and are heavy laden. And here's his promise, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. You've been carrying your own yoke. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me. Learn of me. Learn of me. Learn from me. Learn by me. Or as one version translates it, become like me. And then notice this statement, for I am meek. For I am meek. And lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, I read in the Beatitudes, Jesus said, blessed are the meek, right? Blessed are the meek, blessed, happy, well off, well to do, fortunate are the meek. And then Jesus tells us right here, I am meek. That's what Jesus said, right? Amen. He said, I am meek and lowly. I am meek and lowly in heart. I think the New American Standard translates it humble in heart. Another version translates it, for I am meek and without pride. Lowly, lowly in heart. I believe, and I don't think you're any different than me, that the most popular forms of religion today, I want you to think about this. I'm talking about the type of religion that's embraced by the cattle-like multitudes. I call them cattle because they'll follow anything. They don't know where they're going. They really don't. They're cattle. But much of what they follow reeks of human pride, reeks of human display, reeks of showmanship and self-promotion, self-aggrandizement, crass materialism, and all the while our sober virtues are disappearing faster than the Arctic ice. Disappearing faster than the Louisiana coastline. Jesus said, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. Do you believe that? Do you believe the meek are blessed? Really and truly. Jesus says, happy are the blessed. Happy are the happy, blessed, fortunate are the meek. We believe happy, blessed, and fortunate are the rich and successful and the go-getter, the self-aggrandized. You know, those are the ones that are really blessed. Jesus said, blessed are the meek. Then he says, learn from me, learn of me, for I am meek. Who's our example? Wait. Who, really and truly, really and truly, who is our example? Who really and truly do we want to emulate? Do we want to follow? Really and truly, I want to know. You don't have to answer me, but honest to yourself, really and truly, who is it that we really want to be like? That we really, truly follow? Who do you admire? Who do you emulate with your life? I mean you. Really and truly, are we followers? Are we followers of the rich and famous? Is that who we hold in the utmost regard and admiration? The religious showmen, the shameless self-promoters, boasters, braggarts? Is that who we follow? Look. The multitudes, the cattle-like multitudes, that's who they follow. You can say amen or you can say oh me, but you know it's true. Or do we follow the meek and humble Lord Jesus Christ? Learn from me, he says. Be like me. Follow my example, for I am meek. For I am meek. That's what Jesus said, for I am meek. Learn from me, follow me, for I am meek. Now, you know what? We're supposed to follow something. We're supposed to be meek. Blessed are the meek. We don't even know what it is. When I say we don't know what it is, that doesn't mean every single one of us here. I'm just saying overall, the body of Christ, We not only don't emulate it, imitate it, follow it, or want to be like it, we don't even know what it is. In fact, it is disappearing so quick. All of these sober virtues are disappearing so quick. The sad thing is nobody even notices because we're too busy, you know, following the rich and famous. Meekness is not on display. It's not on display. Because it doesn't seek the limelight. It is like the other virtues, self-effacing, humble. Just the opposite of pride. You know, it goes right along with modesty and the opposite of vainglory. Like self-effacement, meekness retreats into the background. While the cattle look with awestruck admiration at the shameless showmen and self-promoters in the field of religion. I want to read something to you that A.W. Tozer said. I've quoted him before, but I like this guy. I like his insights. He's with the Lord right now, but I want you to listen to this. He said, in the world of men, we find nothing approaching the virtues of which Jesus spoke in the opening words of the famous Sermon on the Mount. Instead of poverty of spirit, we find the rankest kind of pride. Instead of mourners, we find pleasure seekers. Instead of meekness, arrogance. Instead of hunger and thirst after righteousness, we hear men saying, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Instead of mercy, we find cruelty. Instead of purity of heart, corrupt imaginations. Instead of peacemakers, we find men quarrelsome and resentful. Instead of rejoicing in mistreatment, we find them fighting back with every weapon at their disposal. He goes on to say that these are the evils that make life the bitter struggle that it is for all of us. All of our heartaches and a great many of our physical illnesses spring directly out of our sins. Pride, arrogance, excuse me, resentfulness, evil imaginings, malice, greed. These are the sources of more human pain than all the diseases that have ever afflicted mortal flesh. Isn't that something? But he's right. What an insight. Our sins, pride, arrogance, resentfulness, evil imaginings, malice, greed, these are the sources of more human pain than all the diseases that have ever afflicted mortal flesh. Jesus said, blessed are the meek. Jesus said, I am meek. I am meek. So this is important. If meekness is a virtue that we are to possess, that God promises to reward in eternity, I think we ought to know what it is. I think we ought to know what it means. Bullinger, in his Greek lexicon of the New Testament, defines meekness this way: gentle, enduring all things with an even temper, tender of spirit, mild-mannered, free from haughty self-sufficiency. Gentleness and tenderness in bearing with others. And finally, he translates it, enduring mistreatment with patience and without resentment. That's a pretty big definition. Huh? Tender of spirit, mild-mannered, enduring all things with an even temper, gentle, enduring mistreatment with patience and without resentment. Today, honestly and truly, today, meekness is considered weakness. Weakness. Meekness is viewed with contempt. Meekness is viewed with contempt. It's considered to be cowardly. Insignificant. You know, the meek, those that retreat into the background, those that are self-effacing, the humble, those are the people you step on as you rise to the top. The cream rises to the top. We are go-getters. We take what we want. The meek, those are our stepladders. They are the pathetic, the helpless, the powerless. Blessed are the powerful. Blessed are the ambitious. Blessed are the aggressive. Blessed are the forceful. Blessed are the authoritative. Blessed are the proud, the takers, the ruthless, for they shall succeed. Jesus said something just the opposite of that.
Amen.
Blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. How will the meek inherit the earth when everybody laughs and treats them with contempt? Because we step on them to rise to the top. Because we are the conquering go-getters. We are the major players. We are the takers. The meek, they are the givers, the subservient. Who are they? They just retreated to the background. They're the nobodies. Jesus said, they will inherit the earth. The millennial earth and the new earth and heavens. I want you to know that meekness, in spite of the contempt that it's held in, meekness is not weakness. In fact, it's just the opposite. Meekness is not weakness, not by any stretch of the imagination. Let me give you an example. You don't have to turn here, but in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3, I want to read a verse to you. Listen to this. The Bible says, now the man Moses was very meek above all men who were on the face of the earth. The man Moses was very meek above all men that were on the face of the earth. Moses was meek. Meek. In fact, he's actually given by God in Numbers 12:3 as an example of meekness. This is, you know, he exemplifies the virtue of meekness. But was he weak? Meek, yes, but was Moses a weak man? Well, let me ask you. A meek man, you know, in the world's definition would be some cowardly, pathetic, feeble, fearful, impotent individual who would hide and cower. But Moses was the guy who stood in Pharaoh's face.
Amen.
Right? He stood up to Pharaoh, the most powerful man on earth. He stood up to Pharaoh and demanded, in the name of God, that Egypt, Pharaoh, let all the people of Israel go, or else. Nothing very weak about that. Nothing cowardly, pathetic, or pitiful about that. Crazy, maybe. In fact, Pharaoh may have considered him crazy, but not cowardly. Here's Moses saying, what is he, a shepherd with a stick in his hand? Telling the most powerful man on earth to release all your slaves? Or else? Let my people go, he said. He speaks as a spokesman for God. Here is no coward. Here's a man who's bold, courageous, fearless, not fearful, he's fearless. Right? Here's a man who confronted Pharaoh. Now, meekness can be confrontational. You see, people think, well, the meek, what are they? They're timid. They run from any kind of confrontation. Well, not necessarily. The meek will avoid confrontation if possible. but when confrontation is necessary, especially when God calls them to be confrontative, then the meek are bold. And they are not fearful people. They are bold, and they will confront anybody. Pharaoh! Hello? You see, all the people who are supposed to be so rich and powerful and successful, do you think they would confront Pharaoh? But they are the strong. They are the mighty. Would they confront Pharaoh? No, they would cower before Pharaoh. They would flatter Pharaoh. Right? But the meek Moses was confrontative to the most powerful man on the face of the earth. So meekness is not weakness. I'll tell you something else. Moses also confronted Aaron and Miriam.
That's right.
He confronted, in fact, he confronted all of Israel when he came down to the camp after he'd been up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments. He came back down and finds them worshiping a golden calf. The Bible says in the book of Exodus that they were carrying on in a drunken orgy, dancing, revelry. It was the first recorded Mardi Gras in the Bible. He finds them worshiping a golden calf. You know, what is the calf? That's a beau gras. You know, they carry it around in every Mardi Gras. That's what it starts with, the big cow. Everybody raises their hands. Oh, give me favor, O thou great one. Favors, throw me something, you know. It's idolatrous. That's the point, you know. It's like most of our customs and holidays and so forth. But then you know that, right? I'm not telling you anything you don't know. So Moses comes down from being in the presence of God. He's got 10 tables of stone written by the finger of God. He comes down and he finds the people of God worshiping a calf. And Moses confronts Aaron, the man he left in charge, the man who's supposed to have some spiritual backbone. What? What is this? What's going on here? Aaron says, I really don't know what happened. You know, allow me to paraphrase. I don't know what happened. We threw some gold in the fire and this calf came out. You know, you read the account, that's what he said. We threw gold in the fire. Look, this calf just jumped right out. He jumped out. I don't know. Moses was so righteously angry that he threw the tablets of stone written by the hand of God. He threw them down. Well, consider this. Commandment number one, I'm the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. They violated that commandment. The second commandment, thou shalt not make any graven images. They violated that commandment. If you're going to break them, let's just break them. And then he took that calf, the Bible says. He burned it with fire, melted it, ground it into powder, and then scattered it on the water and said, now drink it. Now you drink every bit of it. That's what he did. That's not weakness. Nothing weak about that. As this man, in the name of Yahweh, confronts the nation, confronts the leaders of the nation, confronts the holy men, the holy leaders, and all, he confronted them all. Meekness can be confrontative when called upon to do so, right? So biblical meekness possesses a fearless zeal for truth, for God, for his purity, for his word, for his holiness. And it will confront the kings of the earth or the so-called kings of religion. It's unafraid. It is unafraid to tackle any and all who defile the house of God, the name of God, the word of God. Jesus said, think about this, I am meek. Matthew 11, verse 29. Jesus said, I am meek. Right? He ransacked the table of the money changers, the tables of the money changers in the temple. whose greed, whose materialism had defiled the house of God. Jesus said, you've made the house of God a den of thieves. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. He drove out those that were only interested in the gold and the gain, the merchandisers who hid their greed under the cloak of religion. I believe we've got plenty of those today as well. Plenty of those. He had no tolerance for the money changers. I'll tell you something else. Jesus said, I am meek, yet twice he picked up cords, overturned the tables of the money changers, and drove them out of the house of God. Also, he didn't hesitate to confront the religious hypocrites, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the ones that everybody admired. You know, they were the poster boys of religion in their generation. The religious Pharisees, Jesus did not hesitate to confront them. In fact, he saved for them the most scathing rebuke in all the Bible. He saved it just for them, Matthew chapter 23, where he called them a variety of things, including serpents, vipers, whitewashed tombs, blind guides, and a variety of other things, you know, unclean. He had no tolerance for them, no tolerance for them whatsoever. He even called them murderers and the offspring of murderers. Matthew chapter 23. Your fathers killed the prophets, and you just like them. Yet Jesus said, I am meek. I am meek. He said, learn of me, learn from me. Learn by me, learn through me. Become like me. I am meek. Meekness is not weakness. Right? Meekness can be confrontative when necessary. But let's recognize in both of these instances, we talked about Moses confronting Pharaoh, Moses confronting his Aaron and the people of Israel. We talked about Jesus confronting, overthrowing the tables of the money changers, Jesus confronting the Pharisees, Matthew chapter 23. In every one of these cases, this was not human anger on display. This was holy intolerance. This was the Spirit of God that dwelt in them. It was a manifestation of God's wrath and God's anger. See, basically, our anger is flesh. Our anger is because somebody offended us, upset us, said something we didn't like, didn't respond quick enough. You know, you ask them a question, what's that? You're not going to answer me? We have lots of ways where we can be, this is righteous indignation. It's flesh. It stinks. Get mad at people, the waiter, the waitress, the wife, the husband, the kids, the pastor, the brother in the church who, you know, did something you didn't like, said something you didn't like, offended you in some way. You think you take it personally. He's belittling me. What's he mean by that? All he said was, good morning, brother. What do you mean by that? Can you consider something else? I want you to think about this because this is important. This is important. The comments in my Bible, the little comment section in Matthew chapter 23 where it talks about Jesus rebuking all of these. The commentary says, these words spoken by Christ to the Pharisees, though severe and condemning, were spoken with a broken heart. Because in the very next verse, he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, and he's weeping over them. And they were spoken by one who died for those to whom they were addressed. So while he rebuked them severely, He spoke it with a broken heart. Jesus said, I'm meek. He pointed out in the scriptures that Moses was meek, the meekest man on the earth. So obviously, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not cowardice. Right? Meekness is the opposite, just the opposite of pride. It is just the opposite of arrogance. It is the opposite of haughtiness and conceit. It is the opposite of self-aggrandizement and self-promotion. It is the opposite of self-absorption. Like all of these sober virtues, they really are virtual synonyms, although they each one does have, you know, their own personal shades of meaning and definition. But humility, quietness, meekness, self-effacement, obedience, patience, all of these could be virtual synonyms. They all basically mean the same. Well, if Moses was the meekest man on the earth, and yet confrontative to Pharaoh and to the people of Israel and the leaders of Israel, how was he meek? How is it then that he was meek? Well, in one way, he was meek because when God chose him, remember the account in Exodus 3 at the burning bush, God chose him to lead Israel, to take them out of captivity, to bring them out of Egypt, to be Israel's deliverer, to be God's spokesman. God chooses Moses. God said, I'm going to send you unto Pharaoh. Moses' answer was, you know, God, that's a good choice. I'm your man. I'm the one who is qualified to lead in this matter. I mean, good thinking on your part, because I'm your guy. No, his response was just the opposite, right? In fact, he says, Exodus chapter 3, God says, I will send you into Pharaoh. Moses tried, he tried to decline. He actually tried to refuse. He wanted to be excused. His response was, who am I? Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should be the one to bring Israel out of captivity? In fact, his response is basically, who am I? He's saying, I'm not anybody. I'm a nobody. I'm a sheep herder. Worse yet, I'm a goat herder. It's not like I'm important. I'm not important. I'm not somebody that is admired or in the limelight. I'm not famous. I'm not talented. I'm not popular. I'm not successful. I'm not admired by the multitudes. God said, I'll be with you. Amen. I will send you unto Pharaoh. I'll be with you. Moses said, they won't listen to me. They won't listen to me. They won't even believe me. God said, I'll give you signs. They'll believe that. Put your hand in your cloak. When you take it out, it'll be leprous. You put it back in your cloak and take it out, it'll be healed. It'll be perfect as before. And I'll give you a staff. Throw it down. You know, comes a serpent. So God says, I'll give you signs. I'll be with you. I'll go with you. Moses said, they still won't believe. Moses said, I'm not eloquent. Exodus chapter 4, he gives, you know, his final argument. I'm not eloquent. I'm no orator. I'm no speech maker. Besides all that, I'm really not all that smart. I mean, when you think about it, he could have said, I haven't spoken Egyptian in 40 years. And you're going to send me to Pharaoh. I've been living in a desert for 40 years herding goats. Now, that's not pretended humility. That's meekness. It's meekness that says, Lord, why would you send me on such a task? I'm not qualified. Meekness has a real perspective a true, genuine perspective of who and what they are. It doesn't have an inflated opinion of itself. Meekness. Hello. No inflated opinion of itself. Moses knew enough about himself to know that I can't do this. But, you know, God's response, of course, is that's right. But I will be with you. That makes all the difference in the world, right? It's not like Moses would go around saying, you know, God, when you chose me, you were some smart. It just shows how smart you were, because you chose the right guy for this task. Because I'm the one that's got this together. I can handle it. I'll take care of it. Here is one of the things that I think it's important for us to recognize about meekness. You know, Moses would not defend himself before God, but he would defend God before anybody.
Amen.
He would defend God before anybody, but he wouldn't defend himself. In fact, in that Numbers 12 passage that I mentioned a little while ago, where God said, now Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. In that particular passage, you know what had just happened there? Aaron and Miriam had just criticized Moses. They criticized him because he married an Ethiopian woman, and they were very unhappy about it. There was nothing unscriptural about him marrying this woman. His wife had died. Moses remarried. He married an Ethiopian woman. But Aaron and Miriam said, well, who is Moses? Hasn't God spoken by us too? We're spokesmen for God. We're leaders too. Do you realize what was happening there? They were actually criticizing Moses and undermining his ministry. They were undermining his authority, undermining his credibility. They were trying to draw attention to themselves. God has spoken by us also. And the Bible reveals in the very next passage, it says, Numbers 12, 2, Moses was more meek than any man on the face of the earth. The point is this. Moses did not defend himself. That's meekness. Moses did not seek out Aaron and Miriam and say, I will get you for this. I'm going to set you straight. Who are you to criticize me? He didn't do any of that. He would never defend himself, but he would never fail to defend God. That's meekness. When God's name, God's holiness, God's word, God's faithfulness, when any of that was a matter of question or doubt, Moses defended God, but he would not defend himself. That's meekness. So God defended Moses. God said, why weren't you afraid to criticize my servant Moses? Struck Miriam with leprosy. So that they had to repent and ask Moses for forgiveness and ask Moses to pray for him. And he did pray for him. And they were restored. But isn't that interesting? He would defend God, but not himself. He would defend the word of God, the name of God, the way of God, the faithfulness of God, but he wouldn't defend himself. That's meekness. Towards all men and at all times, meekness means, now, we want to know what it is. It means to be humble. It means to be patient. And here is a small word with a big meaning. Meekness means to be docile. To be docile. D-O-C-I-L-E. You know what docile means? Docile, small word, big meaning. It means to be mild, to be accommodating. It means to be pliant. It means to be adaptable. It means to be agreeable. It means to be obliging. It means to be well behaved. It means to be yielding, to be easygoing, to be teachable, to be gentle, to be even childlike, and to be submissive. How about that? Meekness. Just the opposite of being wild, uncontrollable, angry, defiant, untamed, unrestrained, demanding, pouting because you didn't get your way, mumbling, grumbling, complaining, you know, so on and so forth. Meekness means to be easily contented. Not demanding. Not high maintenance. Not difficult to please. Not unyielding or disagreeable or combative or aggressive. Meekness is just the opposite of that. Beloved, this is how we are called to live. Remember, Jesus said, blessed are the meek. Jesus said, I am meek. Jesus said, learn of me, be like me. I am meek, docile, pliant. Well, we don't have a gilded carriage for you to sleep in tonight, Lord. You're just going to have to sleep in a stable. You have to be born in a trough where the pigs eat out of. Whatever. No room at the inn, sleep in the barn. Whatever. Praise God for a barn. Amen. Or a FEMA trailer. Right. Could be in Duncan Plaza. Meekness means to be easily content. To be easily content. You don't have to have it your way. Easy going, agreeable, obliging, well-behaved, yielding, teachable, gentle, pliant. Meekness means enduring mistreatment without resentment. Not easily upset.
Amen.
The meek, you know what? Here's the thing about the meek. You don't have to walk on eggshells around the meek. Because they're not explosive. It's true. You ever been around people? You got to walk on eggshells. You know what that means, walk on eggshells? You got to really be careful you don't say the wrong thing because they're liable to explode at any moment. It's like handling nitroglycerin. Oops! Too late. You know, if you say the wrong thing, or even if you say the right thing but the wrong way, it just doesn't come out. Or maybe you didn't say it quite fast enough or you whatever. You walk on eggshells because it's liable to explode on you at any time. Yeah. I used to date a girl like that. I did. It's honest truth. It's the honest truth. I'll never forget it. No, it wasn't you. In fact, this girl broke up with me, and then she got married and shot her husband. Shot him right in the head. Absolutely. It's the truth. True story. She was very explosive. You're right. That was the grace of God, huh? Meekness means docile. Not easily provoked, not easily upset, not ready to fly into a rage, not easy to provoke into anger. Meekness is power under control. Power under control. Jesus said, I am meek. I am meek. Jesus said, learn of me. Be like me. Jesus said, blessed are the meek. Power under control. You believe that Jesus had all power? All powerful? But power under control, right? Power under control, because he didn't fly off the handle or fly into a rage every time he was provoked or insulted or somebody rejected him or didn't receive him. Or when they mistreated him, when they mocked him, he didn't fly into a rage and said, that's it for you. I'm going to turn you into a rat or a frog or a donkey or whatever. Or ashes. I'll just call fire down. Aren't you glad he didn't do that? Power, all power, under control. Didn't defend himself. He was accused. He was slandered. He was brought before illegal kangaroo court. False witnesses stood against him. And what did he say? Nothing. Didn't defend himself. But he always defended the truth. He run those money changers out of the temple twice. Rebuked the religious leaders because they were leading multitudes astray and because he was more concerned about the souls of those cattle that were following the religious poster boys instead of following the truth. And so Jesus had no qualms with confronting the religious hypocrites, the frauds, the cheats, the money grubbers, the glory guys, the ones that were just wanting to make a show and a pretense. So he had no problem confronting them because they were deceiving the multitudes, deceiving the masses that Christ loved. You know, Tozer said something else. I want to read this to you. I think it'll register with you as well. He said, the meek man is not a human mouse afflicted with a sense of his own inferiority. Rather, he may be in his moral life as bold as a lion and as strong as Samson. But he has stopped being fooled about himself. He has accepted God's estimate of his own life. When it comes to criticizing us, let's be honest. People can find plenty to criticize. When it comes to scrutinizing our own lives, we know we ought to know best of all that we fall short. We fall short. So if people criticize us, even if their criticism is largely untrue, there's usually always some little grain of truth in it. And even if it's all untrue, we know we're guilty of other things anyway. This is like the murderer who's being accused of shoplifting and he didn't do it. I didn't shoplift that night. I robbed a bank, an armored car, stole from my mother's purse, shot a few people, but I did not shoplift that item. I am innocent. So while one criticism against us may be wrong, there's plenty of stuff in us that could be criticized. So the point is an honest assessment of our own lives. Why would we defend ourselves to others? Why would we want to go trace down every rumor, every lie, every slander, every false accusation and set the record straight and straighten them out and tell them off? Because we are Christians and they better know it. Yet, the meek are ready to jump to defend God's word. God's truth, God's name, God's character, God's faithfulness. The Apostle Paul tells us that we're to walk in meekness. He says in Ephesians 4, 1 and 2, you don't have to turn here, but he says, I beseech you, brethren, that you walk worthy of the vocation to which you are called, with all lowliness and meekness. walk worthy with lowliness. Lowliness, according to Theia in his Greek lexicon, lowliness means humility, modesty, having a deep sense of one's own moral littleness, having a humble opinion of yourself. We're to walk with all lowliness and meekness. Meekness, remember what meekness is. Being docile, not easily provoked, pliant, accommodating, adaptable, agreeable, yielding, submissive. Teachable, teachable, teachable. You know, you can't teach a proud man. He knows everything. But the meek are hungry. The meek are thirsty. That's why Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst. They'll be filled. Titus 3, verse 2. We're to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Well, how about this one? Psalms 25, 9. The meek will he guide in justice, and the meek will he teach his way. Well, there again, you can teach the meek. They are pliable. They are teachable. They are submissive to the word of God. Whereas the proud, you know, stiff, stubborn, self-willed, unbending, unyielding, you can't teach them anything. They know it all. James 1 and verse 2, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. James says, receive the word, the engrafted word, the idea of the implanted word, the words of instruction, the word of God, the gospel seed that's planted, you know, in our hearts. He says, receive it with all meekness. Meekness. When you receive it with meekness, that means you yield to it. You're pliable. You let it teach you, guide you, govern you. You submit. You yield, right? You don't resist it. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Then in Psalms 149 and verse 4, it says, the Lord will beautify the meek with salvation. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Jesus said, blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. So, if God resists you and grace is dispensed to the humble, if he resists the proud, gives grace to the humble, we're only saved by grace. Amen. That's the only way we get in. So pride can rob you of salvation itself. Pride, stiff-necked, rebellious, ornery, difficult to get along with pride. How many times is the problems that we face in our homes, our lives, the workplace, our families, that it's all stirred up by pride? Pride and self, pride that won't admit it's wrong, pride that won't ask for forgiveness, pride that won't try to get things right. Whereas meekness, teachable, pliant, submissive, yielding, won't take offense, easy to get along with, easy to entreat, peacemaker. Hello? It takes the meek to be a peacemaker. Proud man is a troublemaker. Proud woman, there's going to be a lot of strife and a lot of grief. But the meek, he says he'll beautify the meek with salvation. Blessed are the meek. Jesus said, I'm meek. You think every time somebody criticized Jesus, he called fire down on them? Of course not. Well, this is where we live. I mean, every day. This is not just a sermon. Remember that we're called to live a lifestyle. Jesus said, I am meek. I am meek. Learn of me. Learn by me. Let's not be deluded or deceived into thinking that we're more than what we are. And the greatest conquest that we can make is to conquer ourselves. To conquer ourself. Our own flesh, our own pride. Can you conquer that? Can you live as Christ called us to live in his example? He said, I'm meek. I'm meek. Be like me. Proverbs 16:32. I'm going to close with this. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. You see, Christ has called us to be like him. And that should characterize our life. How can we really be effective witnesses for Christ when we have no control over our own spirit, over our own self? My plea for us today is that you will go forth and conquer yourself. Conquer the self. Get the mastery over self. Jesus said, come unto me, learn of me, I am meek and lowly of heart, and you'll find rest to your souls. Father, our prayer today, our earnest prayer, our plea, is that while these virtues may be disappearing around us, Lord, let them not disappear in us. Lord, deliver us from infatuation with the world and the proud and the pompous. Lord, help us to learn of you, to emulate you. Help us to be more like you. Lord, I pray that you would work all of these sober graces deep into our hearts so that they transform us, that you turn the angry into the gentle, the impatient into the patient, the hasty, those with hasty words and rash words, into those who are slow of speech and slow to wrath. Father, deliver us from ourselves, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, amen. Praise God.